and welcome to the Small Business Heroes Show, where we talk about everything to help your small business grow and prosper. I'm your host, Scott Trevithan, and today I'm talking to Tim Boyle. Tim Boyle has a chartered accounting and financial background. After working in corporate life, he began his own consulting business and really enjoyed helping business owners secure their financial future. Going into mortgage broking was a bit of an evolution for him, bringing his financial skills together with a real passion for helping people to secure their and their family's future. Once he understood what a really good and proactive mortgage broker can do and help people, he knew it was right for him. He established his own business, Finalytics Financial, and works with residential property owners and investors. His two main niches are first home buyers, for whom he published an award-winning book last year called Escape the Rental Trap, and property investors, where he sits with them and helps develop a 10-year plan to enable them to create a great income and asset base outside their superannuation. He's passionate about education and serving clients and produces a fantastic monthly newsletter, as well as several guides addressing key issues facing prospective buyers and investors. Tim Boyle, welcome to the Small Business Hero Show.
Hello, Scott. Great to be here. Thank you.
Tim, I've just told everyone a little bit about yourself. Can you tell us a little bit more detail about what you do?
Yeah, sure. Look, commonly known as a mortgage broker, but we like to think of ourselves a little bit wider than that. We are really credit advisors, and the role that we play, or that I play in the business, is really to sit down with prospective clients and really understand what their objectives are, way beyond just getting a cheap mortgage. So often we take a step back, one or two steps back, and really look, where do we want to be in 5-10 years down the track? Because property is a long-term game, and it just frustrates me that some of my industry colleagues and the banks and that are always just looking at the next mortgage, whereas you've got to take a far more where do you want to be objective point of view and work back from then, and then we design the right credit product for that particular client, given their situation, and importantly, where they would like to be further down the track.
That's great. Tim, what sort of clients do you typically work with?
Yeah, it's interesting, actually, Scott. I started out in this game, as many of us do, with our existing networks, our peers from previous backgrounds. So a lot of my first clients were from the corporate world, which was my background. And so a lot of them obviously a little bit more my age group than many others now, a lot younger. And so experienced property investors. And so I've got quite a pool of sort of what I would call quite large long-term clients. But since then, my real passion, I guess, has been to help people and their families to move from being tenants to homeowners. Hence the reason for me chunking off this big piece of work, which is to write the book I did 18 months ago now for first home buyers, because from a qualitative point of view, it's just fantastic to be able to help people move from being a tenant to being a property owner, which I'm so passionate that that's the right route for most people, that it's just fantastic to be able to help them. And having said that, it's a bit of a barbell, because at the other end, I do have my experienced property investors as well. Often they're people sort of in maybe baby boomers, a little bit younger, 40s, 50s, early 50s, who've sort of got half an eye on retirement, but they look at their superannuation balances and think, gee, we're never going to get there, and they're right. So the government's not going to bail us out. We surely know that. And so it's up to ourselves to be able to build an income and an asset base outside of super. And I just, I was going to say, I think that property is the best way to do that, but I actually know it is. And I can speak from that from firsthand experience. So it's just the only way, to be honest, to be able to leverage safely and have a good chance of building up an asset and investment base.
Sure. So we've got a lot of clients, and I'm sure a lot of people are watching this today, small business owners who are looking at getting into their first property. What sort of advice have you got for them in terms of the sort of things that the banks are looking for to help, being self-employed?
Yeah, great question, actually. And I have to say, that's where my sort of accounting background has really helped me a lot, because the first thing I do with a small business owner is get their business financials. Unfortunately, if you're dealing with a bank, or some brokers, they might just look at the P&L and say, oh, that's my income. But we know, at least better than I do, from an accountant's point of view, we can add back and strip out things. So you've really got to pull apart the accounts of the business and present the best case for that client to the bank. And that's really something that takes a lot of experience, and a fair chunk of accounting knowledge comes in handy. And I've got some great cases of that on my plate right now, actually, where I literally am meeting one of the banks on Monday to take them through my case that I put together for a particular client. In this example, he's got a few small businesses, and I've basically consolidated his accounts and added back. And I think it's a lot better position than what it might first look at in paper.
So is there a number of years of profitable trading that they need, or is it more a case of just presenting the financial reports that are going to get up or going to be received favourably by a credit department?
Yeah, look, the longer your track record, the better. There's no question about that. But don't be put off by the rigid rules of the banks either, especially the big banks. And again, that's sort of one thing that I'm very passionate about, because I use, in fact, now just over, I think it's 26 different lenders that I've used in the last 12 months, at least 24. And the second tier and even the third tier lenders can be far more flexible in their rules than like the big four, which astonishingly still have 80% of the market, which just blows my mind, because the rules are rigid. And I think a lot of people just get deterred by saying, well, you've got to be in business 2 years, you've got to have this in your financials, etc. But if you can get a broker who can sort of pull it apart and present the case in a slightly different way, I'm not saying there's always a deal that can be done, but there's a lot better chance of it. And I've got a client right now, and there was no way the bank, I won't say what bank he was with, and they almost laughed him out the door. And he came to me, and we managed to get him a loan. Look, he's paying 9% on that loan, so it's chunky. But prior to that, he'd been doing a lot of financing on his credit cards. His bank was refusing him any more credit. And we got him a proper mortgage. In 12 months' time, as his financials and his business improve, which they are, then we will go back and get him a more commercial rate. So, anything, not saying anything's doable, but a lot of things are more doable than what initially we might think. So don't take a no from one bank to mean no, then there's nothing out there for you. There usually is.
So a lot of those small business owners would say, especially if they are renting, they're saying, well, you know what, I'm putting all of the money that I possibly can into my business and helping build my business, because it's going to be a fabulous success and I'll be rich down the track and be able to buy mansions with cash. But what do you say to those guys? Is it good to have bricks and mortars alongside their business?
Oh, look, that's an interesting question, isn't it? Highly dependent. I think one thing I do, and given my business experience, would just make sure that the client thinking is sound on that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pour money into your business. Believe me, I've seen it done well, including a couple of businesses I've had in the past. But it doesn't hurt to have an independent party to just go through it with you and just ask you those questions. And often, yes, investing in yourself, investing in your own business might be the right thing to do, and to delay the property purchase for a few years. So I'm not answering the question very well, because I think it's just so specific to the individual and their business situation.
Sure. No, absolutely. I understand that. You mentioned that you're passionate about building property portfolios outside of super, and we've seen that APRA have been trying to get banks to pull away, and very successfully trying to get banks to pull away from lending for self-managed super funds. But do you think there's a place still for business owners to invest in property inside of their self-managed super funds?
I do. And what I generally do, and by the way, and again, personal example, I invest in our self-managed super fund in property as well. And I've gone through and done the MFAA, which is our industry body accreditation, to be a self-managed super fund advisor for credit. So I do believe in it. What I always advise clients to do, though, is to purchase their first two, generally, investment properties outside of super. And the reason for that, again, as you know better than I do, once it's in super, it's really hard to get it out. And you never know what can go wrong in life. And again, personal situations that you might need to liquidate a property, with fairly short notice. If you're in super, you got no chance of doing that. So my advice to people is often to buy the first one or two properties outside of super and then look at super within that.
I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, I think the ability to use the equity in your property and really leverage off that to borrow either for your business or for other investments is severely hampered when it's sitting inside of a self-managed super fund, which is the only sort of fund that you can have it sitting in. So I would wholeheartedly concur with that. I think it's a great place for certain people. Otherwise, yeah.
Good. I'll just say, add to that one, Scott, there's one situation that is really attractive to business owners that I'm surprised it's not a better known strategy, and you all know it. But for business owners who have a self-managed super or can have one, who are renting commercial premises, it can be a really great option to purchase your premises within your super and rent them to yourself for your business. And in a nutshell, what you're able to then do is to receive that income very favorably from a tax point of view on your super and still have it as a fully deducted expense in your business. But that's sort of a broad overview on that side.
Absolutely. Business real property needs to be in your self-managed super fund. The only things that we need to be concerned about is your succession planning and liquidating that asset upon sale of the business, or do you keep it? But if you're a tradesperson or you've got a small factory that you work out of, or even an office building, you should absolutely consider putting it into your self-managed super fund. General advice only. You need to talk to your financial planner from the 1st of July to make sure that that's applicable for you. So Tim, any other advice that you might have for our small business audience in relation to borrowing funds and general investing?
The big thing is that we can overcomplicate these things. And I come across many business owners and they've got, invoice financing and they've got vehicle financing and there's a mixture between their private borrowings and their business borrowings and all of that. So I always start from scratch and say, look, if we were starting again, let's make sure we get the right debt structures. Really important for obviously from a tax point of view, again your field, but also from the way that the bank will set those loans up from a interest cost point of view and cash flows and that. So it does pay to have somebody to really do a bit of an audit on your debt financing that you use in your private and business areas to make sure that that's all done properly, because it does evolve a little bit over time, and generally speaking you can get into a situation that's not ideal without looking at that structure sort of every 1 to 2 years, I would suggest.
That's absolutely great advice. Tim, thank you so much for coming on the show today. If people are here listening thinking, I really think I should get a some sort of review of the debt that I've currently got, or that I'd really like to find out more about, finding either money for an investment or their own home, how can they go about contacting you?
Yeah, absolutely. Our business name is Finalytics Financial. Email is a great contact for me, but also for listeners, if they're your network, they can phone me directly on my mobile phone. I'll give you that twice. It's 0401-715-032. That's 0401-715-032. And my email is tim.boyle, B-O-Y-L-E, at FinFin, short for Finalytics Financial, .com.au, or else they can contact you, Scott, who have got my contact as well.
Great, and I'll make sure that those details just get put below this video as well. Now, in order to subscribe to your newsletter, is that just on the, just contact you on via an email or on the website?
Yeah, absolutely. Send me a quick email. I'd love to include everybody who's listening to this on the list, so it's no charge, and glad to add you on.
I totally recommend the newsletter, not just news about finance but also some great recipes as well, so and I really applaud you for that, Tim. It's a newsletter that people actually want to read. It's really, really good. So Tim, thank you so much for coming on the Small Business Heroes show. My name's Scott Trevithan. I'm encourage you all to go off to our Facebook page, which is Small Business Heroes. Or you can like our page, which is Scott Partners Proprietary Limited. You can go to our website and find out more about what we're doing at www.scottpartners.com.au. I'm Scott Truman, and I'm talking with Tim Boyle, and you are listening to the Small Business Hero Show. Thank you.